Well, Scott, here we are again, the Scott and Stan podcast. How's that?
Yes, or the Stan and Scott podcast, so Stan or Scott.
Yes. Anyway, good to be with you once again.
Yes.
It is a delight, and we are now, because of these four Sundays in Advent, are focusing upon prophets and how those prophets then can direct us to Advent, meaning coming to, and then Christmas, meaning Christ sent, and so we're there then in understanding this. In applying these prophets to our present day. Anyway, enough of that. Why don't I pray?
Okay.
And then you will give us an overview, I believe, or no?
I will.
Of the context of Zephaniah, and then we'll look more specifically at Zephaniah 3, verses 14 to 20.
Okay, great.
So I will pray. Is that what I said?
Yes, okay. That is what you said. I was kind of waiting on you, sorry.
No.
That's why I got quiet.
You got to keep me on track. Okay. I may go off the rails anytime soon. So let's pray. Lord, thank you that we have opportunity once again to share and to seek understanding from these ancient writings, at least from our perspective. And so please grant us insight, understanding, but also then the will to hear what we need to hear and then to make the changes we need to make. But for the moment, we thank you for this opportunity. And we give thanks in your name. Amen.
Amen. Stan, as we begin the overall context, one thing I wanted to mention and forgot about last week was the first week, this Sunday of Advent, we did a passage out of Isaiah, which you and I did not record on. Then these other next 3 weeks are what's in the minor prophets. So, and so I was looking this morning, it said they're called the minor prophets because they're typically shorter books. They're shorter. And there's 12 of them. So there's the number 12. So Malachi, Zephaniah, and Micah, which we're doing next week, correct? I think we're doing Micah.
Yes.
Are three of those shorter books, and they are short. A lot of these you can read in one sitting in 10 minutes or so. Yeah. Now, again, you won't dive deep into every detail of a lot of the verses, but they are shorter. I looked up, so what are the major prophets? So if there's 12 minor prophets, what are the major ones? So I was looking and said Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel with Lamentations, also under Jeremiah, which is a short book as well. Would you say that's kind of, is it poetical in a sense?
Oh, it is. Well-crafted.
Well-crafted.
Very. It's a painful book. But in the very middle of that book, the Lamentations, there is a positive, very positive, hopeful note that is expressed. So it's, but it's very well crafted, and if I'm getting my memory going, each verse as you go through the chapters begins with a letter of the alphabet.
Okay.
So like verse 1 would be A, starting with A, and then verse 2 would be starting with B, and verse.
Okay.
But using the Hebrew alphabet.
Using the Hebrew alphabet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So again, Isaiah, Jeremiah, then Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel, major prophets, not the minor prophets. So is Lamentations the one where it says, your mercies are new every morning? Is that from Lamentations?
That's right in the middle.
That's right in the middle.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I think that's chapter 3. I think it's verse 20.
Okay, and that's where, you know, there's a lot of songs, Christian songs.
Oh, very much so.
To include that.
Yep.
From Lamentations 3.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Got off with a little sidebar there, but we are in today Zephaniah, which is near the end. Malachi was the very last book in the Old Testament. Zephaniah is near the end, just a little bit before Malachi and others. And Stan, for the overall context, the word of the Lord is judgment. And Zephaniah is going to go through and talk about judgment in various geographical areas, various places. So chapter 1, really getting about the day of wrath, stand to Judah, and even could it be universal judgment? That's kind of in verses 2 and 3, I think. I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. So that's very discouraging, you know, when you think about that. Even in verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near, near and coming quickly. The cry on the day of the Lord will be bitter, the shouting of the warrior there. So It's a day of wrath, distress, anguish, trouble, ruin, darkness, gloom, clouds, and blackness. Woo! That's quite a list there. On the day of this day of wrath and gloom and darkness poured out, it says, like dust. So that's against Judah. And then, Stan, we get to chapter 2. We see some other places. Interestingly enough, we talked about this before we went on. One of them, it says, to Gaza. So this is Zephaniah 2, verse 4. Gaza will be abandoned and Ashkelon left in ruins. So what did you say those are? I mean, I know where Gaza is, but did you say
in that
region?
The Philistines.
It was the Philistines, yes. I was just drawing a blank on that. It was the Philistines, yes. And it says, isn't the faithful of Judah will possess those lands? Then he speaks against Moab and Ammon, kind of in the middle of chapter 2, against Cush, the Cushites, and against Assyria. Assyria was the nation that had taken over the northern kingdom around 721 B.C. And when you think of Assyria, we were talking, you think of Nineveh.
Right.
We think of Nineveh, we think of Jonah, yep. Who was told to speak against Nineveh and tell them to repent. Moab and Ammon were sons of Lot. So it's another little biblical reference there.
But they are desolate now, and so that's part of what this is going on there.
Yeah. Chapter 3 talks about the defiled Jerusalem. It says in verse 1 of chapter 3, woe to the city of oppressors, rebellious and defiled. Talk about her officials, her judges, her prophets, her priests, all defiled, all in trouble in Zephaniah 3, the first part. So, Stan, when I was looking at this earlier in my study Bible, it talked about kind of chapter 1 through 3, verse 7, some people would say is a day of wrath. When you get to chapter 3, verse 8, or you might pick up even at verse 9, perhaps, a day of hope, and kind of get that till the end. And so we're going to get to the very end at chapters 3 through 14. But before we do that, kind of a day of hope, when it says in verse 8, therefore, wait for me, declares the Lord. So God is going to declare, and then he's going to talk about my scattered people will bring offerings. On that day, you will not be put to shame for all the wrongs you have done to me. And so again, he's giving some sense of hope to his people.
And this is consistent with most of the prophets. That is, there is a day of judgment. You are living wrongly,
mm-hmm.
but there's always grace. The judgment and the coming of the prophet is always, if you will repent, if you will turn, if mm-hmm. you will change your ways, then you will find that the Lord will receive you.
Yeah.
Graciously.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. So then in verse 14, and I won't get into much of this because this is the specific passage, which again today is Zephaniah 3, verses 14 through 20. It does say in that, be glad and rejoice with all your heart. So with that, I think I'll just hand it over to you to talk a little bit about the specific passage, and this is again for December 17th, of Zephaniah 3, 14 through 20.
Well, and when we look at these verses 14 to 20, as you've already indicated, they're singing, they're shouting. There's a message to the daughter of Zion, a message to the daughter of Israel, the message to the daughter of Jerusalem. And I have gleaned elsewhere that oftentimes when we get this understanding, get this language of daughter, I mean, there's, obviously that's familial language, language of family, but it often is in reference to those who are poor.
Okay.
So the poor of Jerusalem, the poor of Zion, the poor of Israel, there's good news for these who are downtrodden and mm-hmm. beaten down. So there's going to be singing and there's going to be shouting, there's going to be joy in this future moment. Obviously not now when Zephaniah is proclaiming and his ministry. I mean, things are not good.
Mm-hmm.
And again, depending when where we locate Zephaniah, but it may well be that he was proclaiming after the fall of the northern kingdom, which was Israel.
Right.
And so And Judah's not in any much better shape than the northern kingdom was, but they will last another 120 years or so, and then they will be taken captive mm-hmm. by the Neo-Babylonians. But in this passage right now, then there is great hope. It's not only just hope, but there's festivity. Yeah. I mean, there's joy, there's dancing, there's singing. And the Lord will be there in their midst, we read, or mm-hmm. Zephaniah proclaims. And repeated, in that day there won't be any fear. And Yahweh Elohim, what the Hebrew will have is among you. And this language then, I find it very interesting, as a warrior mm. in his love. And so this idea of, I assume it's the idea of a conquering warrior, but now has returned, and he is filled with love for, and I think we would go with filled with love for his people. Mm-hmm. But maybe a warrior in relationship to his wife or whatever, but it's love language here. Yeah. And as a warrior returning in his love, and it's a day of festivity. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's again what Zephaniah is indicating. And then finally, verses 18 through 20. I didn't note before that verses 14 and 15, there's singing and shouting. Mm. In verses 16 to 18, it is a day without fear, and Elohim will be in your midst, and the warrior with his love. And then finally, 18 to 20, the Lord is indicating what he will do yet. And it's removing the idea of any disaster, anything going wrong. And there will be judgment against those who have oppressed the ancient Hebrews, Israelites. But notice as well that this providing judgment in the midst of that, then there will be the saving of those who are lame and outcast. Uh-huh. And their shame will become their renown. That's literal, both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, mm-hmm. Which suggests to me that the Lord is going to transform what was their shame, and now is going to be their glory because of what he has done for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is very much a New Testament message, mm-hmm. that the Lord will take our sin, take our shame, take our fallenness. The language I find myself using much is take my brokenness, mm-hmm. and out of that brokenness will then come his glory as to what he has done, given what he has to work with. It's a very positive, clearly a very positive message. And then I like the ending that it is translated that in essence he will take you home. Mm-hmm. And that idea of home to me is a very powerful one. The Septuagint, the Greek, has, it doesn't translate it will take you home, it just indicates and life will be well. Mm, that's literally what it says, trying to get at that same idea of home.
Yeah.
So it is a powerfully upbeat message.
It is a really powerful message. And Stan, I know one verse, if you're not familiar with Zephaniah, which I am not that familiar, that you might hear sometime is verse 17. I remembered when I was reading this today, hearing a long time ago a devotional or something about Zephaniah 3:17, which says this again, and you touched on this. I'm going to read it from the NIV. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. And that language, mighty to save, was in a really popular worship song from 10 or 15 years ago. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. Here's that warrior love that you talked about. Mm-hmm. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So you mentioned all those things, but I think it's worth saying again. I think that's perhaps one of the kind of most known verses in Zephaniah.
And that language of to save, in New Testament, we see that word used greatly. Jesus often, it's the word sozo, which can mean to save or to heal. And in the Hebrew, it's the name then, or it's the verb Yahshua, or from which we get Joshua or Jesus. The Lord saves. And so that's you know, very much here. And just underscoring what you just said in terms of that, was it a hymn? Or a very popular song.
Yeah, it was a really popular, a very popular Christian contemporary song. I think it was by Hillsong Music, perhaps. Stan, and then you had, you all talked about these things, but just to come circle back to them a little bit, it says in verse 19, he will deal with those who oppressed you and rescue the lame and the outcast, or those who've been scattered. Which I like that language too, the rescue. I mean, that's salvation as well, and rescuing. And as you say, he'll turn their shame into fame. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame, and to take them home. That's in verse 20. So again, very positive language about the hope that people can have. You pointed out too, I thought this was interesting before we went on. I missed it in my notes here a few minutes ago, but Zephaniah was written about the same time as Isaiah, from somewhere around 740 to 680 BC, overshadowed by Isaiah because he's such a big book, and Isaiah is more well known. But that was a time, as you said, Northern Kingdom was defeated and taken by Assyria, and then not that long after, the Southern Kingdom would be as well. So Zephaniah speaks to that. You know, you put it in that context of there will be hope, even though right now things are dire.
Right. Yeah. And how well they, we get the kingship of Hezekiah coming at the, just about at the same time that Zephaniah was there. And so there was a change. And even prior to the Southern Kingdom falling, with Josiah, there was a potential change. I don't know if I would say it was for naught, but they were then overtaken by the Neo-Babylonians. Mm-hmm. And then that's when they go into exile, and that's when the temple, Solomon's temple, is destroyed.
Uh-huh.
And that's, so we see that, in my view, what we talked about last week with Malachi, it's similar kinds of things, although separated now by 200 to perhaps even 300 years.
Yeah, yeah. Stan, something I thought about in our context today is we could do well to listen to some of these themes, like to turn away from our idols, turn away from places where we are failing. You know, I think as a nation, I mean, he's speaking to geographical areas here all around the, you know, the Middle East, but to Judah as well in chapter one. But to us as a nation, but I even think to us as churches, to us as, you know, the Christian church, you know, the American church, what kind of things are we doing or not doing, living in ways that they really fall short of what God wants for us. I think one of the things, Stan, and that I would say I'm guilty of this, and I think the American church is we often how do you say it? We just kind of buy in and blend into the culture.
Yep.
And we don't stand out. I don't mean that in a combative way, but in a way of like standing for who God is, you know, the things of God about justice and mercy, and but also holiness, as you mentioned last week's podcast, to understand the holiness of God and the fear of the Lord, the respect of the Lord for the way he wants us to follow him. So we're very tempted to just blend in with the culture and forget about a lot of those other things.
Well, and there's the 11th commandment in our culture, which is thou shalt not be intolerant.
Yes. Yeah.
Or if I were to put it differently, thou shalt tolerate. Well, how long, you know, and my personality is I try to be a people pleaser.
Me too.
And so, you know, can be, you know, how far do we go? And it's always that analogy of you put a frog in boiling water, the frog will immediately jump out. You put a frog in water that's tepid, in a pan, and turn the burner on, or and just begin to increase the heat, pretty soon the frog will just cook.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's, I don't want to throw stones any further than I recognize I live in a glass house.
Me too.
And
yeah.
So
yeah.
Some of those stones need to boomerang. I'm mixing my metaphors here, but to in my own little house.
Right. So, but I love that it's the hope. It was the hope for the people then and hope for us when we turn to God, and that God will rescue us. I also appreciate, again, I think as Christians, you know, as American Christians, oftentimes we're really blessed. I mean, I'm really blessed.
No question.
Physically, yep. Financially, I'm really blessed. And so God, again, going back 2,700 years, talks about rescuing the lame, the
yep.
oppressed, those who've been scattered. You know, He consistently, God consistently cares for, and we read this in the Gospels, you know, we've been studying Luke for all year, consistently rescues and cares for those who are on the margins.
Well, and if we listen to voices like Mother Teresa, she would very much say, well, where will you find Jesus?
Mm.
You'll find him in the slums.
Mm.
That's where he is. Well, the moment I go down that road, I say, huh, that's not my life, and I'm not particularly comfortable
right
in that arena.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think she's right.
I think
and,
yeah.
And if I understand the prophetic message, and by the way, Jesus was a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
More than a prophet, yes, mm-hmm. but he was perceived as a prophet, and his message so often was very prophetic.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And sometimes we again fail to recognize that part of his ministry.
We do. Well, good. So, we got to do questions.
Yep.
We do have three here. I'll start with the first one, then you
okay.
pick it up. Number one, how do you respond to promises? How do you respond to promises?
And I think with that question, at least in my mind, mm-hmm. was the idea that if things are dire, bleak, and somebody promises, well, do you buy into that? And we've all had been recipients of promises that have faltered. So how mm-hmm. do we, when we hear a promise, how do we hear that? Sorry, mm-hmm. I'm just...
Okay. Yeah,
second question. Have you ever been a recipient of praise, of boasting, even of song? If so, what was that like?
Good question. I think it's uncomfortable sometimes to be if you get a recipient of praise or
yes.
a song. You know,
yes. Over the years, I've tried to learn better that when somebody compliments me, but to simply say thank you.
Yes, me
thank
too.
You.
I think that's a good admonition for today, just to say thank you. Finally, what does the word home mean to you? Zephaniah says God will bring them home or take them home. What does the word home mean to you? It's a good place to finish.
I like Zephaniah.
I do too.
I haven't spent a lot of time here, but this has been, I've appreciated.
I do too. Again, three chapters. I think what's kind of fun about some of these minor prophets is they are very short, and so you could sit and read a few of them. And, you know, I like looking at a study Bible sometimes to give me a little context or to look up a commentary, even online. And some, if you can find some you trust, gives you a little more context as
yep.
to where the prophet was coming from. So it's good to sit down and read and to study here at Advent as well.
Very true.
I'll close this out in prayer.
Please.
Oh, most loving God, again, we pray and we thank you for the prophet Zephaniah that, again, as we said last week, we can look up all these millennia later to read Zephaniah and to see how your promises are for us as well. And for those who are on the margins of today's world, God, that you will rescue them, your promises for that. And God, we do one day all hope to be rescued and saved so that we can be with you personally and for eternity. Mm-hmm. Bless us during this Advent season to look forward to your coming back in the person of Jesus and at Christmas. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good to be with you, Scott.
You too.
Thank you.
Good to be with all of you out there. Amen. See you again next week. And next week will be the Sunday of Christmas Eve. Hope to see you
That's
next
right.
week or hear you next week.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.